From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, those Friday the 13th open lines. But here's what's happening. While the NSA apparently disguised itself as Google, the spy, according to reports, and if a recently leaked document is any indication, the NSA or its UK counterpart appears to have put a Google suit on to gather intelligence. That's a technique that is commonly used by hackers. A MITM attack involves using a fake security certificate to pose as a legitimate web service, bypass browser security settings, and then intercept data that has an unsuspecting person sending that to the service. My, oh, my, oh, my. And the FBI is also admitting it controlled Tor servers behind mass malware attacks. Let's check in with Lauren Weinstein. Lauren, what is that, by the way? What's a attack on a controlled server?
Yeah, well, this relates to the Tor server network. We've talked about that before. These are it's almost like an onion, layers and layers of servers that talk to each other in an attempt to obscure the origins of the traffic. And they're used for a lot of legitimate purposes. Human rights workers and journalists will use them to try to protect themselves in countries where their reporting could actually be harmful to their health, and they're also used for illegitimate purposes. They're used for certain criminal purposes, and they can be used for child porn also. So apparently, what happened in this case is there were Tor servers in France. Apparently, they were in France, and last month, users of these services, which included a lot of legitimate operations as well, we can presume illegitimate ones, started noticing that there were strange error messages coming back, saying that the systems were down for maintenance. It wasn't so much the maintenance messages themselves, but it turned out that buried within them, there was some funny code, and people started noticing it and noticed that what was happening was that the code was taking their addresses, their IP addresses from their local machines and funneling them off to Reston, Virginia. Now you would think if you were the FBI, you wouldn't do something like use an IP address in Reston, Virginia to send everything to, because that might make people suspicious. But as it turns out, people were right to be suspicious of the FBI in this case, because in a court filing and a court discussion in Dublin, Ireland, just the last couple of days, they basically admitted that that's what they were doing as part of a child porn investigation, and they were gathering the actual IP addresses of people using a particular version of the Firefox browser that turned out to be vulnerable to this, and were sending them off so they could figure out who the actual users of the Tor service were. Now, obviously, nobody's trying to support child pornography in this. You want them to be captured, but the question here is, could this same technique be used for other purposes, not necessarily attacking something that everybody agrees is bad? And it does seem like this is part of a whole complex of what you could call government spyware techniques, which are much like the same spyware techniques that are used by black hat hackers and by crooks of various sorts. But it is very strange to see the government using the same kind of techniques.
So how can we beat this, Lauren? How can people defend themselves?
Well,
use your internet.
The question, it's always a question of trying to reach a relative, a relative balance on these things. The only way to really be 100% secure against everything on the internet is, of course, not to use the internet at all.
Not to use it.
The very structure of the internet means that anonymity will never be complete. And for most of us, we don't need complete anonymity. So it turns into a question of trying to decide for what kind of communications is the internet best, perhaps. For what kind of communications is the internet really not your correct choice? Are you availing yourselves of the security systems that are available? Because even with everything we're saying about NSA and foreign intelligence services and everything else, there are things you can do, there are programs you can use that will add security to your communications that will probably be more than adequate for most people. Ironically, though, most people don't even bother to use those.
Good point. Lauren, thank you so much. So here's another story. Killer robots, crippling cyber attacks. Is that how the world is going to end, according to super brains such as Stephen Hawking? They believe that the end is not going to come from an asteroid or something like that, that the main threats to human existence come from us, not from nature, and that will probably end up doing ourselves in. Help has arrived for Lyons, a small town cut off by flooding in Colorado. The Colorado National Guard began evacuating the entire town of about 2,000 at daybreak. The outlook was even less upbeat for a broad swath of northern Colorado. State transportation officials issued an emergency alert to residents in four Colorado counties hit hardest by the flooding. As a matter of fact, I'm flying to Boulder tomorrow to tape our Beyond Belief television programs over the weekend, and it's pretty iffy. Getting in, getting out, we'll see what happens. Mitch Batras with us. Well, the rough weather hit Colorado finally, Mitch, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It happens from time to time. The last big one was 1976. Unfortunately, my brother-in-law relatives lived in the big Thompson Rivers where it happened, lived in that area, and all of them were killed.
Oh, gosh.
And this one, it 144 people were killed in that incident. And this one could very well happen. What causes this, of course, going back to just weather itself, is the jet stream is shifting and the ocean currents have shifted. And it goes far into inland. It's not just in coastal areas. And that's related to the Earth's core, which creates the magnetic field. So it's all intertied. And so really we are in a little bit further along in the Earth's magnetic field shift. We're getting closer, and I believe that some of us, depending on what age you are, might experience a more severe part of it, where the magnetic north could drop not just to the equator but below the equator. And there is another thing that's contributing to these horrible NOAA-type floods. The fires, these fires that are happening all around, and there's some going on in Colorado, it burns all the underbrush, burns a lot of trees, and a lot of that absorbs quite a bit of water. When that's gone, the water obviously will go faster. But, of course, you know, we're talking about 12 inches of rain in 4 hours. I mean, that's
a lot of rain.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, that's 100.
I did want to mention one thing, George. We have a little deal going on. It's called Pay It Forward. Something that I went to a spiritual gathering, and it just reminded me of this concept. So up on the website, I have that going for everybody, and it's just passing forward wonderful things and just watching that trickling effect. Actually, I think you do that every night.
Well, we try. EarthChangesMedia.com. Mitch, thank you so much. Aviator Jonathan Trapp's attempt to become the first person to ever cross the Atlantic using, get this, 370 helium balloons has ended in failure only 12 hours into the journey. He was forced to make an early landing in Canada due to technical issues. He's okay. The United States could default on its obligations as early as October 18th, if Washington fails to agree on legislation to raise the government's borrowing cap. A new study predicts that. Here we go again. Seems like we're doing this all the time. Mount McKinley, still king, but was knocked down a peg. Somehow it lost 87 feet since the last time it was checked. Friday the 13th, here we are. Now, listen to this one. Would you board a flight 666? To HEL, Helsinki, HEL, on Friday the 13th. Some people had to decide if they were going to do that or not. I'm not so sure I would. Not being that superstitious, but you never know. Up next, Helene Olson joins us. We'll talk about the spooky side of Friday the 13th next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Helene Olson, of course, multidimensional psychic medium, licensed reader with the City of Salem, Massachusetts. You know what happened there a long time ago. Here she is back on Coast to Coast. Hello, Helene. Happy Friday the 13th to you.
And happy Friday the 13th to you and all of your audience, George. Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. So would you get on a flight 666 to HEL? I'm not so sure I would on Friday the 13th. I'd back off on that one.
It just doesn't feel good. But of course, our mind goes to the negative. I'm sure that nothing wrong will happen with that flight, and that it'll be fine, as most flights are. You know,
but I've got to tell you though, this was the strangest Friday the 13th in a long time, because not a lot of people even knew it was Friday the 13th. Nobody talked about it today.
I wasn't really out and about, so I wasn't paying attention to it other than thinking about the show tonight. But, yeah, I mean, often people will mention, oh, tomorrow's Friday the 13th. Uh-oh, I better not go here or do this or do that. You know, it's kind of in their mind. But I do want to say that Friday the 13th, when I looked it up on Wikipedia, our favorite spot, there really was no basis that they could quote as exactly where it stemmed from. It seemed like in some cultures, especially way back when in Italy, Friday was considered like a bad day. And the number 13th has had some negative connotations because 12 is the penultimate divine number. There are many representations of 12 throughout the Bible. It's considered a universal mathematical number, part of the matrix. And there were 12 apostles and 12 gods of Olympus, and it goes on and on. And so 13 sort of became its nasty brother. And so the two things kind of merged from what I could gather and really weren't quoted as being bad luck until the 1800s, really, George. So I think that between societies and people talking, what happens is anything that's spoken about carries its own energy. And so over time, it just started to have a bad vibe, George. I personally am not particularly superstitious. You know, I have my little things like most people do. But, you know, it really has no basis. And people who get nervous about it are going to find bad things happening. You know what, George? The universe is a neutral place, right?
That's right.
Whatever thought we put out there, whatever idea we have in our heads kind of creates an energy and an intent. And so if you're thinking Friday the 13th is going to be terrible, well, you might have a couple of problems, and then you'll attribute it to Friday the 13th, because first of all, you'll make some minor mistakes that will cause you to have a problem, and then on top of that, you'll be paying special attention to things that do not go right. Right, George?
Well, you think people will psych themselves out on certain days like Friday the 13th, rather than just wake up and say, you know what, I'm going to have a great day, and the heck with it.
That's right. It's already in their minds the week before or whenever.
Yeah.
You know.
They psych themselves out, don't they? They literally create this themselves.
Yeah, they do. And it's the same thing with a lucky rabbit's foot. You know, you can have that lucky rabbit's foot or the four-leaf clover or whatever object you'd like. And if you believe strongly that that object appeared for you during a miracle or a good time, and you believe that that object holds benefit to you, you're going to tie your intention to it, and then guess what happens? It really is good luck, but you're creating it yourself. That's how I see it.
How did you end up in Salem, by the way?
Well, I hope that people find me at angelslighthouse.com, my website. I live in a town that borders Salem. And what happened was I had worked with tarot cards as a hobby for, you know, through my 20s, and I'm not going to get into my age, George, you know. I had worked with tarot cards and so forth, and at some point it was just a hobby, a few friends knew, and that was it. And then I decided, well, this would be a fun thing to work with people with, and after a while I started doing little house parties and so forth. And when I realized that I could go work in Salem for a day or two a week, I went and got a job there. And I sat in very public venues there for, oh, I don't know, around 5 years. And that was really an amazing experience. But, you know, it was convenient that I lived so close to there, where psychic abilities, readings, occult is so accepted in that community, you know.
Well, we know a lot of things, Celine, happened in Salem, of course. With the burning of the witches and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Is there negative energy out there?
Well, you know, I love Salem. Salem is a really well-run city. It's a very quaint and pretty city, and it's one of the oldest cities in America because, of course, they had a huge seaport there. And I believe that there are energy nodes or ley lines, as people describe them, that are able to gather energy, that some of those are a little bit negative. And even today, sort of walking among and living among the Wiccan community there, the shop owners and so forth, it seems as though there's a lot of concentrated energy there that is very irritating, George. And so you find that in a place like that where you would expect everyone to be really cohesive in the business community, it can be kind of divisive and people seem to argue a lot and things like that. They're all wonderful people, but it does seem as though that Salem has more than its share of negative energy floating around. Now, of course, you have in downtown Salem an extremely dense population. You know, it's all packed together. And between all of that, you have ancient cemeteries, some of the oldest cemeteries in America, and other events that occurred there in history, like the witch trials. And so all of those things leave sort of an imprint, you know. And anybody who walks into Salem, it's really interesting, you know, talking to tourists and people who are coming into the town to look around and shop and have fun experiences, which is a great place to visit, and it's great for that. I have often told me, boy, it feels strange here, you know. But in the Salem area, you do have a large psychic community, and people are doing a lot of energy work. They're doing a lot of connecting with other realms. They're talking to spirits for customers. They're reading cards. And so all of that stuff is kind of open there.
Well, you know, when you say it's open there, I mean, mm-hmm. How open is it?
It creates an energy field. It definitely does. And one of the things that happened the first year I was reading in Salem many years ago is my guides and angels told me not to go into the downtown area to read the last 5 days before Halloween because they would not be able to protect me.
Why?
Because there are so many people kicking up dirt. You know, they're coming in these horrible costumes that creates an energy. They're looking for, and some of the costumes are just fantastic. You can't even believe it unless you see it, but they're sort of raising or waking spirits. They're calling for the universe to come and talk to them. They're getting the readings. They're doing seances and rituals and all kinds of things, and it just opens up this energy field even more than at other times of the year.
And so with this kind of energy that surrounds that area, do people pick up on it, or does the energy field do these things to people?
People pick up on it. Now, some people are going to obviously be more sensitive than others, George.
Sure.
But I have talked to two people over the years who actually moved out of Salem because they couldn't handle the vibration. And then I've talked to so many more who said, this is the best place to be. They wouldn't go anywhere else. They were so happy when they moved in because they liked being able to connect to not negative energy, but the open energy there, or the amplification of energy.
So if somebody wakes up on this day, Friday the 13th, and they say, oh, my God, it's that day. I'm going to have a horrible moment. What are the odds? They probably will, won't they?
Well, even if the moment isn't that horrible, they'll probably be paying a lot of attention to it, right?
They should.
Expecting it. Yeah.
How dark is this on this day?
I don't think it's that dark. I've never viewed it as a day to be afraid of or anything like that. And I can't really say I've ever had anything that's happened to me on Friday the 13th at any time, really.
I think we're going to get another one in October. I think there's another Friday the 13th in October, so we get a double whammy this year.
we did, but it's okay. People need to focus not on the date, but on their day in their life and finding joy. And, you know, bad things happen to all of us sometimes, George, and I'd have to say Friday the 13th is a little more random unless someone is really paying attention to it and kind of calling it to themselves.
You yet surround yourself with angels, of course. You've been doing this for a long time. I want to talk with you about that. Angels Lighthouse, of course, is Helene's website, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Just tuning in, Helene Olson with us. We're talking about Friday the 13th, evil entities, angels as well. It's sure nice, Helene, to be on the side of good instead of evil, isn't it?
I prefer that. I do. But, you know, energy is energy, and it can be good used just the way anything else can, for betterment of people or for greed or for self-purpose, whatever you'd like. And so I was approached by angels and actually beleaguered by them at one point. I think my experience is a little bit unusual, although I know other people have had similar experiences. And I actually, at the time angels came to me, really didn't feel any connection with them, didn't feel anything about them being real or not real. What happened to me actually was that I was working with the tarot cards and so forth. And actually one day while I was walking through the supermarket, George, my third eye opened, and I didn't even know what it was. And there in my mind is a movie screen with a deceased aunt talking to me. And it was the most overwhelming, shocking, and horrifying experience of my life. I just left my cart. I ran home. I was sobbing. My husband didn't know what to do, although, believe it or not, he is a mental health clinician, okay? So he didn't believe I had lost my mind, but I said to him, I have to go to the hospital. Something's wrong with me. She's talking to me. I can see her. And he encouraged me to call my cousin, whose mom it was. And she is also in the mental health care industry, and I called her and said, look, I don't even know why I'm calling you except that I'm going to the hospital because I think I've lost my mind. And I was crying, and she says, well, just tell me what happened. And I said, your mother is talking to me. Well, there's dead silence on the line, George, and at this moment I think I've truly upset her or made her angry. And I just said, hello? And she says, Helene, she talks to everybody. And then I just lost it. Because to be honest with you, George, I was a person who all my life avoided horror movies, ghost stories, shoot 'em up movies. You know, I just avoided all that, didn't like it, made me extremely uncomfortable. And so shortly after she arrived, I had to wrap my mind around that, which was really difficult. And after a few days of actually getting comfortable talking with her, angels started coming, and they came in flocks is the only word I can use. And I have to tell you that this path for me has been the biggest blessing in my life. I absolutely love my work. I love to help people. I love to get messages to people. But for these first 6 months, so many years ago, it really was baptism by fire. I wouldn't wish a 24-hour third eye open to anybody. It is really overwhelming. It is something that is almost impossible to manage and very easy to get lost in. And during those 6 months, angels were coming constantly to give me teachings and to explain things to me. But what happens with people is they like to think that negative energy is only attracted to the weak and the feeble and the people who are not right-minded.
Right, okay? And that's not true, is it?
It's not true, because if you have a light, the negative energy wants to feed off the fear that they can bring you by popping up and saying boo, okay, or making you miserable or sort of tormenting you. So I had a ton of learning to do in that 6 months with the help of the guides and angels that were with me. But I'll tell you, it is not pretty out there with the negative energy, and most recently, and I'm not bothered by it anymore. However, I will tell you, it took me some years to get over the fear of it, to not stand there screaming for some angel to come and help me. They wanted me to learn how to manage this. They wanted me to learn how to deal with it. And so at some point, after years of them saying, fear not, fear not, I woke up one day with an epiphany of, there is nothing to fear. It's energy, that's all. I know that negative energy can be very, very upsetting, very disconcerting. They can actually hurt you if they're powerful enough. But one thing that people slide into immediately is fear. And fear is what they're feeding from, okay? And so people should really have faith and trust and belief in the idea that we are in physical form, they are in energetic form, and that we actually have the power within us to really ignore them, push them aside, get rid of them. Many people use all different kinds of techniques to do that, and often people seek practitioners like myself and others who can facilitate for them and help them, you know, have that removed. But there are all levels of negative energy coming from all different streams in the universe. And it's a very funny thing, George, because in the last few years, you know, the energy has shifted all around the planet.
Sure, dramatically.
Dramatically. And everything is so much more open now. We've had huge gateways of light coming in. People who didn't think they were psychic suddenly feel like they are. They're feeling energy and vibrations more. They're getting intuitive information more. They're connected more. And that's wonderful. The difficulty is that when these gateways of light open, they actually sort of drag up the dirt. It's like taking a rug outside to get the dust out of it, you know. So, of course, negative energies are irritated by this. And so they have become more active with people as well.
Helene, do you think the negative energy, though, when you were talking about its ability, is just as strong as positive energy?
Yes, I do. Hmm. Yes, I do, because, you know, angels in the angelic realm have often talked about the battle that wages. Negative energies are very powerful. If you can figure that an angel, an archangel or higher, is an extremely powerful entity, well, there are equally powerful negative energies. Mostly people are bothered by the smaller ones. A true overwhelming demonic kind of thing is not that common. It's fairly rare. But I personally have not seen a case of true full body possession of someone, although I do know that it exists, and I believe it to be an absolutely real occurrence. It is not as common as people think. So if something negative walks up to you and says boo and tries to make you miserable, it's pretty hard for them to get into your body and possess it entirely.
Well, but if negativity is just as strong as positivity,
mm-hmm.
How can you win? How can you beat it?
Well, it's like the angels have told me. You know, I've been pretty upset a couple occasions over the years. I had to learn something. And what I learned was that just because I was talking to angels didn't mean that they could fix the world. Because, George, if they could fix the world, we wouldn't be in the position we're in, right? And what happens is angels will try to inspire people in power. Many of the songs that I hear on the radio over the years, I've heard information that the song was given to the person to write. And so you'll hear them interviewed, and they'll say something like, I wrote it in a restaurant in 2 seconds, and now it's a hit, you know.
Yeah,
that, you know, that kind of thing. That's divine inspiration, really. They don't realize that they're actually channeling the divine with some of these inspirational songs and music, but they are. And it's because they're creative and open to that. But they've also told me that they're unable to change the darkness of men's minds. So if someone has it in their mind that, you know, they're part of a terrorist group and they're going to take out a big chunk of humanity, no matter how hard angels try, they can't really inspire those people or change them often.
Does that mean evil wins?
I don't like to think evil wins. I prefer to think that humanity is on a learning curve, that we haven't arrived at the end, that the idea of collective good is not valued. We are, in many layers, infected with this idea of greed and winning no matter what, as long as we have more money than the next person, all of those kinds of things. And as long as people choose to attach to that, there will always be the strife on Earth.
Now, when you were playing around with your tarot card, mm-hmm. like a Ouija board, do you think that may have opened up a portal?
I think it did. I wouldn't call it a portal, though, George. What it is any psychic tool that you use is going to enhance your ability and make you more open. Now, tarot cards are a door, but they're a much smaller door than a Ouija board, and I feel the tarot cards are much easier to protect. But in my personal situation, I was told that it was my true life path to be doing this work, and that they had been trying to get my attention for a long time. And that's happened to a lot of people, that they've gotten that kind of information once they start working with their intuition and so forth. They're drawn to it because there's an actual soul purpose behind it.
How can you overcome the negativity? How do you do it?
Well, you know, that's a big question, George. Overcoming negativity is something that we have to do in our minds. But when you're talking about negative energy attaching to people, that runs the gamut of everything from something horrible to something mild. And sometimes people have something mild bothering them or teasing them, and they think it's horrible, and they get all into the fear mode, and they absolutely attach to this must be demonic. And often when people come to me with that, all I find is just a prankster human spirit that's bothering them. You know, it's not always the worst case scenario. But one thing is that people have to be truly aligned inside themselves and decide that they don't want this, they're not afraid of it, they're not going to bother with it, and it has no power with them. The other way that people can get rid of things that are bothering them personally when they know it's an energy, and a lot of people who aren't psychic are very clear that there is a nasty energy with them. There are lots of YouTube meditations, actually, that have energy clearing connected to them. But beside that, you can actually sit in prayer, and a lot of people recommend lighting a candle. But when you sit in prayer and ask for Archangel Michael or any angel that you feel most comfortable with and ask them to help you get rid of this negative energy, that often works for a lot of the minor things that bother people.
Some people, Helene, kind of bring this negativity on themselves and it stays like a cloud.
Oh, it does.
They can't get rid of it.
No. But there are cases where people want more power, and they're constantly asking for, I want more, I want more. It's a little bit different mindset. They're working towards it, they want it, but it has like this air of, I'll do anything to get it. And I've seen a lot of people over the years who end up with a negative attachment because they're kind of asking or seeking in the wrong way. Am I explaining that correctly, you know? And so when that negative energy comes, they're often extraordinarily tricky, and they'll make you think that you're dealing with something good or that they can give you what you want. And when you see what you want happening, then you get more connected to the negative energy. And that happens sometimes with psychics. I've had some clients over the years who were psychic who wanted more business or wanted to increase their place in the world or whatever this is, or actually not even that, wanted more psychic power, and were sort of going about it in a way that wasn't exactly kosher, if you want to put it that way. So then they're surprised that something tricky came along and was trying to make deals with them or tell, see what I did for you yesterday?
Yeah.
We can work together. I'll help you. And anything that's making deals with people is not something they should be dealing with. Angels and beings of light do not make deals.
At least the good ones don't, right?
right.
back to Friday the 13th. And you think people bring this on themselves?
Well, it's just like any superstition. That's my personal experience and belief. That, you know, and it's such a prevalent thought that there's actually a big long word for it, right? Trisodecaphobia, that people get very, very connected to the idea that it's so bad that they actually create a phobia around it.
Well, it's a fascinating field. AngelsLighthouse.com, tell me a little bit about what you do.
Well, right now I do a lot of readings. And I also do a lot of house clearings and clearing of people. I wanted to give you, the audience, some tips on clearing energy out of a home, because I don't think it's that difficult to do.
And you're talking about bad energy, right?
Not necessarily even bad energy, any kind of energy. So, you know, George, we're all intuitive. Every single person is. And you know, you've walked into that house or that party and immediately felt, oh, I don't want to be here. Or conversely, I love it here. This feels great, right? Because people who are emoting emotions all the time are leaving an imprint. And sometimes we move to a new apartment or a new house, and it doesn't, we'll look at it and say, this doesn't feel right, or I don't really like it, but you don't really know why. It's often because the imprint of the lost people that were there wasn't that healthy, okay? They were either ill, or they had a bad divorce situation going on, or there was a lot of arguing, you know, all those kinds of things. And if you want to clear your home to make it feel better, what I suggest, and this is especially good for people who are selling a home, and it has worked many times for me when, you know, that home that everybody thinks should have sold minute one and nobody's buying it, you know. often in that case, it's because the former owners really don't emotionally want to let go of the home. So what we can do to clear that space before we move into a new place is actually put out small Dixie cups or small bowls of sea salt, because that is acidic enough to sort of clear the air.
How many of them?
I put one in each room.
Huh.
I put one in each room. And then the other thing that helps change the vibration of a place is actually live flowers. Flowers have the most beautiful vibration. Plants do too. And if you put a few in each room, they don't have to be expensive or anything like that, it will help change the vibration of the place.
They do give off a certain energy, don't they?
Yes, they do, very powerfully, and there are many people who actually communicate with plant life. I have on occasion, but it's not my strong suit, but they do have an amazing vibration, and that helps. And the last thing that you can do is to actually go into the home or the place and sit in prayer, asking for divine light to come in. And when you're calling on any entity, on anybody, I have a personal prayer that I use that I'll be happy to give your audience. I find it works amazingly well. And honestly, I think they told me it, but I don't really remember where I got it. But the prayer is, in the name of God, in the light of God, and in the view of God. And so that way, you know, you're asking for divine light, and you can add any other sentence at the end of that that you want to. But you have to repeat the prayer three times.
Why three?
There is a lot of numerological association with the number three as being enormously powerful. And, you know, the whole universe is mathematical, right, George? I'm not a scientist, but I understand that everything's based on mathematical formula. And three is a very strong number in the connectivity of the universe and in the idea of power and in the idea of truth. And so when you repeat it three times, it strengthens it. And while you're standing there, clearing your mind and saying this prayer, in the name of God, in the light of God, and in the view of God, I'm asking the divine to please step forward and help me, or asking Archangel Michael to please step forward and help me. And if you really kind of let your mind go, you will feel energy come in. And you can then ask them to please set a light in that home or apartment or that space to clear the energy.
Helene, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment with you on Coast to Coast AM.